Can we turn our Bibles? Let's just do Bible study for the next few moments. Yesterday, the anointing will not allow me to teach. It's always a burden when my friends have warned me. They say, you will soon lose the ability to teach. I say, God forbid that. Now, something will come. I've started seeing it. I'm not used to it. So I will start again from the beginning. Now, I don't know. I need help from the Lord. I need help right now. The way he communicates now, I'm not used to that way. Really, I need help. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 4, it's always a great privilege to be part of a people that understand the responsibility of the brotherhood. Sometimes because of the intensity of attacks, you might not be as strong as you are supposed to be, but because they are brethren that are fused with you in destiny, their prayers make a way of escape for you. It's a wonder to be found amongst people that understand the heart of Jesus Christ. Pure fellowship and true apostolic fellowship is returning to our land. It's only when our fellowship is pure and approved that our prayers have penetration and impact territorially, that our priesthood is recognized and it can minister to our nation and minister to our land. God is determined to do great things. Now, verse 32 of Luke chapter 4. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man with a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. My emphasis is the next verse. This was the observation of people that were physically present when this activity took place. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits and they come out." Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read verse 36 together. And they were all amazed and speak among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits and they come out." What a word is this? I know you have not checked that scripture very carefully. That's why I said we should read it together. It is easy for you to be amazed at power, because power is forceful. Power is creative. Power is dynamic. But have you ever wondered how they were amazed at authority? It was not only power they were amazed at, they were also amazed at what? Authority. Now, we'll keep this scripture aside and then continue from yesterday. Then, this scripture is the emphasis. But in order for us to handle it effectively, we'll need background knowledge. Because the Bible reveals that the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes did not have this element. They were amazed at his doctrine. Because what? He taught as one that had. It was not because it was a product of a certain kind of Bible school. There was an element that was factored in his teaching that was not of earth. It's very difficult. There are two things that are difficult to understand from physical world. Authority, glory. Very difficult to understand because the essence of authority, authority is something that God has and God delegates. It is not something that is occasioned by human wisdom. Alright? And so the Bible says that they were amazed at his doctrine because he taught as one that had what? Authority. Now, in order for us to understand this, let's keep that scripture aside. I was trying to show us the shape of the kingdom of heaven. I said that the kingdom of heaven was a kingdom that was domiciled in eternity. It's a kingdom that is domiciled in eternity. Eternity is a realm of spirit and life, not a realm of space and time. I said that which is in the natural world that doesn't have its roots in the spiritual world will pass with time. And that's why Paul said, why we look not on the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are not seen, they are eternal. We said yesterday that time was a lie, space was a lie. That time doesn't have its roots in the original realm, so time is without foundation. Any judgment and any sense of anxiety that you feel on the account of the fact that you suspect that your biological time clock is ticking and you are not manifesting on time, and that constitutes a basis of anxiety, you are actually held up by the devil's deception because time has no foundation. Hallelujah. Now, so we need to understand the shape of that realm. I said that a lot of thrones were established in God's realm in order that functionaries and principal people and ranking personalities in the spirit realm will advertise the essence and the might of God. That's how God shaped his realm. But we also read in the book of Jude that there were several principalities that left their first dominion. That means they wanted to increase the scope of their influence in the spirit realm other than that which was ordained by God. And the implication of that attempt was that they were banished into chains of darkness. That is to say that because of the authority of God, even ranking people could not violate that authority and go free. That's how that kingdom is structured. And we may not understand the implication of authority in the natural realm, but if we take a look at the things that happened in the high places, when ranking princes rebelled against the majesty of God, the implications were grievous. Are you with me? Now, if you went in the teaching yesterday, did I make sense yesterday? I didn't make sense. I was trying to show you that the earth was actually a mirror image of the heavens. That when Adam was driven out of the garden, Adam had the status of a guardian, and it was a guardian that replaced him. I was saying that when Zechariah went to offer incense in the temple, it was Gabriel that visited him. Gabriel was an angel that of the presence of God. And Zechariah was a priest of the presence of God. The angel that encountered him was like him. I said that when Joshua was about to take the land Jericho, God opened the vista and showed him that there were spiritual armies that were in Israel. And he showed him the commander. Joshua was a physical commander, and the angel he saw was the spiritual commander. He revealed himself through that angel because the angel was like him. He will be able to understand. Do you understand? Yes, sir. Now, our experiences in God are different. The reason is because your shape in the realm of the spirit is different. Your challenges are going to be different in line with your shape. The reason why it is like that is because there's a structure in the unseen realm that you express in the natural realm. If you don't understand that structure, you don't understand your battle. You don't understand your warfare. You don't even know why you need to marry a certain kind of man. You just get mixed up. I also revealed that because several people did not understand the spiritual nature of things, a lot of people violated some protocols. Now, this guy, Joshua, because he did not know that spiritual army was superior to the natural army. So the natural army will have to accept a position of submission to that spiritual army in order for victory to be effected. Now, Jericho, the wall of Jericho was a cuboid. If the walls of Jericho fall, they will be as tall as they used to be. It's just like a cube of sugar. If you roll it over, it's still the same height. If you roll it like this, see the same height. So if the wall of Jericho had fallen, it would still be what? The same height. So what happened in Jericho was that it was impossible, it was impregnable. It was built never to be breached. The walls were fortified. It took the angelic army to stamp upon those walls. The walls fell into the ground. That was an angelic activity. But in order for that to happen, Joshua had to submit to what? Now, but when he came, he didn't understand that he had to submit to the authority of the spiritual army. He came and felt they were equals and said, "Are you for us?" That was what sentenced him to 7 days of silence going around the world. Now, there are several people that have not understood authority and the chain of command that should not be broken. And because of that, they are suffering some things, not from demons, not from devils. Suffering because they have violated some authorities and they did not understand the protocol that they were supposed to subject themselves to in order for them to function effectively amid the mighty powers in the realm of the spirit that is backing them up. There was something about the ministry of Jesus that pedestaled it. That element was not natural, not something you pick up from Bible school. It's not something you pick up from a training program in Alaska. Oh my. One guy was telling us about a Bible training program somewhere in the United States. That when he comes back, I assure you, you can travel from sea to sea. You might even change your spoken English, the accent in the process. That doesn't give you authority. Now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
That's how the structure is. How I wish we could look at the book of Matthew chapter 4. I wish. We can't. I would have shown you the discussion that Jesus had with Satan. Then you now see what Satan is bothered about and what Jesus is bothered about. What did Satan say when he met with Jesus? He said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." You see, Satan's emphasis is ability. Do you understand that? The ability to do stuff. The ability to turn stones to bread. Jesus, on the other hand, so Satan's emphasis is power. Power. Alright? Ability. It's because the devil is interested in ability. That's why he is interested in who becomes governor. Even if you are a pious, sanctimonious, and sacramental man, and you find yourself in the corridors of power where you can wield influence over many people, you have entered into a corridor of Satan's interest. And there are some locomotive demons that operate within that circle. You won't invite them for them to come. Oh my, because Satan is interested in what? In power. Jesus said, "It is written." That means I submit to a code. There is a wisdom I submit to. There is an authority, an utterance that has been spoken of which I need to submit. the fact that I have power doesn't mean that I'm going to use power, especially if this use of power will violate that which is captured within that code. You will see that Jesus likes authority. He wants to be under authority. He wants to be guided by authority. But Satan says, hey, can we do it? If it's possible, unleash it. Satan doesn't like order. He doesn't like structure. He doesn't like that which is the superstructure that holds the realm of the spirit. That's why he doesn't play according to the rules. He doesn't play according to the rules. If you are deceived to accept the position that Satan is bringing, it means you have slept out of order to confer with a man that is disorderly. Because of that, you become exposed, and the power of the devil can afflict you. There was something about the teaching of Jesus that was different. I know Jesus was in rhetorics, in delivery. In all scripture, we were not given insight into his power of rhetoric, other than when he spoke one time and they sent somebody to arrest him. And when the guy came, he was charmed. I don't know what he mixed, how many scriptures he consulted, his delivery, his lingo, his diction. I don't know what he drew upon the scene. But when the guy left, he forgot the message that they sent him. He came back empty-handed. And they said, did we not command you to arrest? He says, so, excuse me. No, man. No man ever spoke like that. Why is it that we have become so natural as preachers today? It's for such things as this that we need to pray. There's something we need to come into. Now, so Satan likes power. If money will give you ability, Satan likes money. Anything that will give you ability and expression, he likes advertisement, he likes expression. Jesus likes order, Jesus likes authority. That's the difference. Are you with me? And just like I said, if we ever say, can it be done, without saying, should it be done, it means we are falling. Please help me tell your neighbor. If you ever say, can it be done, without saying, should it be done, we are falling. Let me tell you something. Even though you speak in tongues, it's still possible for you to chase women. It can be done. And God will not make you lame in that area. You have full ability and you articulate. It can be done. But we are held up by law not to. That is what makes that action worship. Because you have a choice, but you decide to sacrifice. Worship is not worship except it leads to the altar of sacrifice, where your will is surrendered in order for you to embrace the will of another. It means you have died to something that you have the ability to execute in order for you to submit to a sovereign will that surpasses and transcends earth into heaven. That's what it means for a man to function on earth and is operating under the government of heaven. Jesus said, it is written. Now, you see, some of us work in the oil industry. We went for training and they said, oil business is oily. That was the introduction. You see, they said there's no way you can work in the mines without coming out with some odor. If you work in the oil industry, you find out it's oily. A little of it will be on your trousers. Maybe some of it in your pocket. Oil industry. The oil industry is oily. Hallelujah. And the truth is this. Because of our population and our endowment, because of the nature of our GDP and the part that the oil industry plays in contributing to that GDP, it pedestals it at a very sensitive industry. Now, there are so many deals and so many opportunities in that industry. And if you happen to be a regulator there, your prayer point for a long time just came to pass. Hallelujah. By the stroke of your stamp, you can amass wealth. You can divert funds And the new trend now is don't pay it into the bank account because EFCC can trace it. The new trend now is we need it cash. Have you seen dollars breed in the Gentex bag? It's reviving when you look upon it. And if after you have seen it, you still have the courage to say, it is written. It means you have seen something beyond this time. The moment you see those dollars, alright, some things that doesn't normally speak to you in Lagos will just start speaking to you. I've been here all this while, you didn't know. Right now, because you have ability. Ability has come. There's a new trend of interest. A new ground of possibility. You can come to the airport and see a very tall lady and say, do you work? Boldness has come just because there's ability. You don't understand? Okay, alright, okay. No, we are all doing the church stuff. When you have ability, many things speak to you. Many things. You were humble in the prayer room, tucked in your blanket, speaking in tongues when there was nothing. Suddenly, there's a gym test bag. Now, you wake up in the night to check it, it's still there. Oh, 12 midnight. You are going to adjust. Then when a man sees that and he says, it is written, that man has died in some sense. No man does these things. So Satan was wondering, why you put yourself under pressure to remain in alignment when there's much to explore? Behold the nations of the world and its glory. It has been handed over to me. He likes ability. He wants to show you what he's capable of. But Jesus said there's a code by which I live. So do you see why his teaching is different? So the guy that wants the whole world now wants to come and preach. And he's a Pharisee. He went to the theological college. He graduated with a good degree. And he's licensed to do pulpit ministry. Now they call Jesus from the congregation. Just read the scripture to us. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed. It's not the talking that is different. It's the man. How aligned is the man to the powers that form this creation? One day, it was on a convocation day, somewhere in America. And they brought an orator. If the guy reads for you, it's fluent. It's wonderful. It can move the strings of your soul. And they brought the orator and said, the founder of the school had a scripture he always read. So every convocation day, the orator is called to read that scripture in memory of the founder. So when he began to read, it was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He comes out so fluently in so perfect a sequence, and it charms your soul. Hallelujah. In the same convocation, they called an evangelist. He was not schooled to lead prayer and to end the meeting. And he quoted that same scripture. Now, so the problem was not the scripture, was not the utterance. The problem was the people giving the utterance. And when he quoted it, what he was in the spirit realm was revealed in the utterance that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it was what Jesus was in the spirit that was manifested through his teaching. And the guys that were onlookers had to investigate. This is not the pattern of the Pharisees. What exactly is the element that is added to this delivery? Then upon more detailed search, they discovered that and marveled that it was owing to the fact that he was a man of authority in the realm of the spirit and a man of power. If the kingdom of God is going to advance, it advances by two keys, and their names are authority and power. But you see, you need to understand something. Anytime the kingdom of God is not advancing, it means the guys that are on pulpit, they lack authority and they lack power.
If the hand of God is not coming upon your family to bring it into his prophetic destiny, it means the priest of the house lacks authority and he lacks what? Power. That's why the kingdom of God is not extended. That's why the kingdom of God is not expanding in that household. Every time it expanded, it took men of authority. It took men of power to extend it. They marveled at his teaching, for he spoke like one having authority. I've been burdened in recent times. There's so much sermonizing, so much preaching from the pulpit, and the impact is so little on society. When you check people with Christian names that are given opportunity in government to serve the nation, there's still money more than the people that are infidels and unbelievers. Then you begin to wonder what exactly is happening. If we have a problem of that nature, it means that the church has failed to raise the leaders that will steer the nation into our prophetic destiny. And that is what happens where ministers minister without authority and without power. The kingdom of God cannot be extended. The grounds of darkness cannot be reclaimed. And everything is according to status quo. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will establish my church. And the rock which he spoke about was the revelation that Peter had, that any man that has contacted such a revelation about Christ, there is a foundation that is laid in his heart, and it's upon that foundation that God begins to build. And when such a building exists, devil and the darkness will not be able to protect the activities. He said the gate of hell will not work. That means darkness will not be able to protect her activity anymore. If in your village the activity of darkness has been protected for 10 years, it means no man of power and authority has visited that land that is aligned to the kingdom of God. It's not God that went to sleep, it's we that are sick. Imagine in the apostolic church, those guys were unlearned men. Today we need half a government to govern a church. We need an archbishop. We need a bishop. We need... Those guys didn't go to school. It was not strategy sessions that they held. It was prayer meetings. It was not planning times that they convened. It was the ministry of the word. Today, if you just need to come to Lagos and see, the caption of most ministry conferences is about strategy, strategy, strategy. So you see technocrats just lined up on the poster. That's why we are where we are. That's why we are here. It's not about technocrats and people speaking about economic empowerment and the economic war front and how to position people by strategy, understanding how to read the stock market, the all share index, and trading forex online. Those are strategy sections. It makes you bogus in your mind and lean in your spirit. Jesus was reckoned because of what? His authority and power. Whereas God conquers with power. Just in case there is a satanic base, it is power that God will use to hit that place. It's like airstrike. You use it to bomb military enemy camp so that you can release the infantry to go and mop up, to carry out mop up action. So when there is a satanic base, God launches into that base with power. For those of you that still go for crusades, God is more ready to act when the terrain is dark. When you come at first, it will be stiff. That means God wants to move today. What you do is just by an act, use your will and join with the will of God. That I will not stop until it cracks. And I tell you, most times when that crack is effected, Jesus flows through the cracks and he unleashes a tsunami of power, an avalanche of power. power to displace the devil in that land. If the kingdom must advance, men that know how to draw the avalanche of power must enter into the spirit. It will be by that definition in that realm that they can call powers to rain vengeance upon territory that darkness has invaded. So God needs power to conquer. But when he has conquered, he establishes authority and he begins to rule. For you to give your life to Christ, it took power. He invaded the darkness that was in your heart. The Bible says it is God that called the light out of darkness. And in our hearts, he also called light. There was a darkness inside of our hearts. And the Bible says the same God that called light out of darkness, in the midst of darkness, there was no floodlight inside. He invoked light right from the root of darkness. He called it forth from where darkness, light did not exist. He just emerged from the midst of it. He said the same God is the one that shined upon our hearts. He took power for us to be saved. But now that you are saved, he rules over your life through his authority. It means that if we don't understand the authority of God, we are suffering from a very deadly limitation. Oh. Alright, I think we need to go to the classroom now. Some of us are lost, so let us go back to the classroom. That's why we need to teach. When it becomes hard to comprehend, we'll cool down. We're going to teaching. There are four words in the New Testament translated power in your English Bible. But if on a closer look, the words are different and they have different meanings. One of the words is dunamis. Dunamis is power. I'm going to explain that. Another word is exousia, which means authority. Now, we're going to do some scripture work now. But let me explain what dunamis is. Dunamis, in its most accurate sense, is potential energy. Potential energy. Dunamis is not useful as dunamis. Dunamis is an investment of God's inherent power into your spirit. That was a word that was used in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Where is Hillary? Hillary. Hillary gave us a wonderful teaching on the first night on these matters. So dunamis is potential energy. It's inherent energy. Now what I mean by inherent is that God, when he releases that power into you, he leaves you to determine how to operate it and when to operate it. So it's no longer God's responsibility whether you operate it or not. It is your responsibility to operate. And just in case you decide not to operate, you should not blame God for what you would have been able to generate if you were operating it. Now, speaking in tongues is a mechanism that we have to translate this potential energy into kinetic, functional, manifest energy. Now so, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, I will speak in tongues. I will also speak in my understanding. The word worthy of note there is will. It means Paul is saying that we can decide to begin to speak in tongues now. That means it is under your control. Will you blame God for something that you were supposed to check if you were using the instrument that God gave you? I don't think that's God's fault. Because Paul revealed to us that it's inherent energy and you can decide to engage it if you want to engage it. And then he revealed to us in his own lifestyle that he spoke in tongues more than the entire church. More than that particular assembly, that means I have willed to exercise myself in this inherent power. And I have found out, based on my experience with you, that I have used that resource more than you. Are you with me? dunamis, potential energy that can be translated into kinetic functional energy when we engage the instrumentality of speaking in tongues. Now, let me go further. In the book of, I guess it is Matthew, you know, Brother Hillary was speaking and he was giving us some insight. He said, Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What was he full of? In verse 14, the Bible says Jesus returned from the wilderness with power. Now, there is a difference between being full of the Holy Spirit and returning with power. You see, the potential energy has been translated to kinetic. It is now power. Listen to me. I hope we came here to hear the truth. This is my own personal experience. Personal. It's not a Bible, it's my own what? I discovered that when I gave my life to Christ, got baptized in the Holy Spirit subsequently, and I began to exercise myself in the Spirit. Because we heard that God could heal, God could do this, God could do that, but I was not seeing it in my life. In my own personal experience, I exercised myself praying in tongues for about 10 years before that potential started manifesting as tangible manifest power. I know you don't like process, so when I say this now, you are emotional. Should I also further discourage you? A man that is not, that doesn't have Jesus as his objective and focus, you will not be able to sacrifice enough for you to enter into some things. No. If you don't like him, you don't love him, and he is not your unique goal, you will be weary by the level of sacrifice that is required to bring you into some things in God. The fact that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you have power in your hand. There's a difference between being full of the Holy Ghost and returning with power. Alright? Brother Hillary also revealed to us, he said, so many people were assigned the office of the deacon, diaconate. Among them was Stephen. And the Bible revealed that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Verses later, verses down, the Bible says, Stephen was full of faith, wisdom, and power. So, Stephen went beyond being full of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and he stayed in the ministry of prayer. You know, the apostles did division of labor. They say, you guys that are deacons, serve tables, we will do praying and what? The ministry of the word. Stephen didn't stop serving tables. He served the tables, and then he also added the apostolic menu. A time came where the results that the apostles had, he also had it in his own ministry. Because the Holy Ghost in him had been translated to what? Power. There's power available to... You get it now? Now, so some people are speaking in tongues and you feel, oh man, that's good though. But there's something higher than that. The being filled with the Holy Ghost and receiving dunamis is just a potential that has that possibility in view. Now, when the power of God began to come upon my hands, all right, it just started coming gradually. Started coming gradually. I didn't know about it. It was an encouragement to pray more. Hallelujah. And a time came that the power became more intense than it was before. Like when we went to Malawi, we were driving to the airport. And the guy driving now said, his father-in-law's house is here. Let's greet him. Munan came down. And I spoke to him. I said, good evening, sir. The guy didn't. Then I found out he was deaf. Then I came, put my mouth close to his ear. I said, good evening. He said, good evening. That I used to hear when I was 7, but something happened to me, and since then till now, and I met him at 64. Wow.
I've been like this. Then I say, Jesus, he can open this ear. My God, Jesus, he will do something to your ear. I was still speaking about Jesus when the ears opened. I thought that I would go through the rigor of carrying him through prayer sessions. Notice that Jesus said, cleanse the leper. He didn't say pray for the leper. He said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said, raise the dead. He didn't say pray for the dead to be raised. He said, rest. That is power. So if there is power on your life and you take water and sprinkle, that water will do something. If there is power and you pull your suit and say, I am a colatua. Power. Don't go out without power. The Bible says they marveled at what? At his authority and what? Power. The man began to hear. And the guy now said, the ear that was deaf, he's hearing more than the real one. I said, okay, that real one too needs some checkup. That other one needs revival. And at that time, his faith was flying high. It was contagious. And we had to minister help to the other one to come up, to upgrade. I saw his wife. The wife now was shouting on the seat. But she couldn't stand up. She was crippled. Say, you can't walk. Oh my God. Jesus can heal the cripple. And I laid hands upon her leg and raised her up. And she began to walk. And then her son now came and spoke. And said, this is a false prophet. He said this in his heart. And he sounded loud in my ear. And I went to him and said, you say, I am a false prophet. You see, more card table. When there is power, that thing that the devil has planted can be cut off. When there is power, that, oh my God, they marvel at his power. If there is a demonic base in your family that have been doing witchcraft, it has not translated to power yet. Because when he conquers with power, that's what he uses to do evangelism. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to school and do some Bible study. Right? His power. And when he has conquered, then he establishes his authority. That is deeper than power. So I need to tell us the difference between dunamis and exousia. Power and authority. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what does the key do? He said, whatsoever ye bind. That's authority. Oh my. The other one is deeper. Whatsoever ye loose. That one is deeper. I'll show you. Alright, you can bring your writing material out. Draw a table. Make one column authority. Make the second column power. Number one. Let's try to see the differences between power and authority, because those two constitute the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's how we're going to advance the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever heard that scripture that says, from the time of John the Baptist and until now, the kingdom of God allows violence? It means that the kingdom of God is mounting up forcefully. Now, that kind of forceful advancement is what happens when men of power come upon the scene. Now, have you ever seen what happens when Reinhard Bonnke shows up? It's as if the devil is not alive. Oh, yes. He doesn't need to start praying before blind people see. Are you with me? We went for a power conference with Reinhard Bonnke. He was just talking about power, just talking about the Holy Ghost. And then the crippled man dropped his crutches.
and began to walk.
He was still talking about the power. And that's what we call power. You don't need to.
It comes.
Every time the kingdom advanced, there was power on ground.
You know our great fathers, men like John Unguze. What happened was that the kingdom was advancing because men of power. But that's not all. These men of power must also be men of authority. I'm going to show you. It's quite a deep thing. And we'll go into it as much as God helps us. Number one, on the authority side. Authority is obvious, supernatural, judicial control. Obvious, supernatural, judicial control. Have you heard Jesus make this statement before? If I, by the kingdom, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is among men. He said, one of the signs by which you can tell that the kingdom of God is resident among us is that by the finger of God, I cast out devils. A man of authority, when he moves around, a lot happens to the kingdom of darkness just because of his presence. He is in alignment with an ultimate kingdom. And because he's passing by much damage, not because he is praying, and his presence alone can cause much damage to the kingdom of darkness. An intercessor was praying for a city, that a dark cloud was over the city, and praying for God to remove the city. And the only night he didn't pray for 2 years, that the sleep was much, and he slept off. He now woke up the next day, the dark cloud had gone. So he went back to God and said, hey, the days I prayed, the dark cloud was there. The day I now slept, the dark cloud left. What is this? He said, my son Lester Stroma just came into your city. That's why the dark cloud left. The train that was carrying him got knocked close by, so he had to spend the night in your city. His presence mustered a mammoth number of angelic creatures, and everything darkness within the territory was diffused by the superfluous presence. It was my son Lester. He just passed by. Now you will not understand this until you understand that realm. Judicial control, because of his ranking and status in the realm of the spirit, those kind of things happen because he shows up. Because when he shows up, his throne shows up. The angels and cherubs that operate and administer that throne show up. There is something dense that happens. The balance is adjusted. The ecosystem is rearranged. When Bonke comes, he doesn't need to hold a prayer meeting before there will be power. He is a man that is in alignment. A man that is under authority. And the power of the throne that he has been elevated to travels with him and makes a conscious statement. You know that statement? He suffered no one to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. That's not power. That's authority. That statement goes in the realm as a man of authority travels. Do not touch this one, O witch. All ye wizards, do not touch this one. By no means should you harm him. He is coming with heavy duty material. It is in your interest so that you live long enough to be saved. Do not interfere with his current. He's carrying heavy stuff. Do you understand that? Judicial control. There is a government that backs him up. He's an ambassador. His reality is not here. But the powers that support him, they come from a distant land of a terrible king. And if you touch him, you might invoke the wrath of the king he represents. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets. through them. No. Go to the power side. Power is supernatural strength to noticeably change the natural world. Noticeably. Do you get that, number one? Power is supernatural strength to noticeably change the natural world. Now, I need to digress to explain a few things, because it's becoming stronger now. Hallelujah. Do you know that one man prayed for 29 seconds. His name was Elijah. And his prayer was that there should be no rain. And the heavens were sealed. That's not power. That's authority. He was a man of ranking and of stature. And his voice was very influential, could change the scales and the numbering system of heaven. Based on his utterance, a lot of things black. There can be blackout. There can be an eclipse. Such a man is a kind of personality that has gained stature before the presence of God. Stature is a position of favor that we assume before God, because we are subject to his government and we are subject to the process that he has led us through in order for us to represent him accurately. Such a man is bigger than the earth. 29 seconds prayer rendered the world into drought. It means he was tested many times. He was found trustworthy. And the powers of a mighty throne was conferred upon him. And when he speaks, mighty cherubs of glory advance to carry out his decree. That's a man of authority. A lot happens to darkness just because his presence comes into the land. Now, I'm saying this because as young men, as young people, preaching the gospel, one of the things that God is going to do to create a multiplier effect of revival is that he's going to give men rank. Yes. Abraham's prayer was so potent. So potent. There's something in God that is, I thought no man could change it, which is God's numbering system. The number of people that were supposed to fight alongside Gideon were already articulated in God to be 300. The number of people that will be present on the day of Pentecost in the upper room when God visits was articulated already. It was 120. Hallelujah. The numbering system of God. But here we meet a man. His name is Abraham. In the place of intercession, he came to God to negotiate with him. He said, what if we find like 50 guys in that city? Will you still destroy? I never knew that any man could interface with God that way and have God change his mode of oppression. That means that is a possibility. And that is what it means to have power with God. That is what it means to have the capacity to move the hand of God. And that guy kept changing the number. It's not by blood and bone that he changed it. It was by what he was in the realm of the spirit. That traveled with his utterance. That accompanied his negotiation. That followed his prayer and made it potent. God was disposed to it because his obedience spoke alongside his request. My God. Everything he was in God spoke when he uttered those requests. And when God looked upon him, he had found favor in his eyes. He could not deny him. He was large in God's realm. He was mighty in God's realm. He got three titles under God: the Father of Faith, the Friend of God, and the Father of many nations. And in the afterlife, the regions of paradise, they were named after him. Paradise, the whole landscape of paradise, is called Abraham's bosom. By what spirit Did Elisha lie upon that boy and breathe upon him and he rose from the dead? That was not power. That was not power at work. That man was doing that by what he was in the spirit. Peter and John, they say, "Silver and gold, we do not have, but such as we have, we give thee." There's something we have with God. It's invincible to the human eye. If we cannot monetize it, it doesn't have a value in naira and kobo. But such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up. He had something, and he knew he had it. That statue. You don't, Boko Haram can't kill that man. Whereas a man that operates in power can still fall. I will show you why. But a man that is secured in the authority of God. Let's go. Number two. God rules with authority. Then go to the other side, right? God conquers with power. The need for power is that God needs to conquer more ground. But when he has conquered, he sets up his throne. Just like the day he conquered you in salvation, you yielded. Some of us cried and thought about our sins and our rebellion. It was flashed before our spirit. And with the eyes of our spirit, we saw how wicked we were, and we asked for mercy. When he did that, it was power that was at work. When he did that, the next thing for him to do was to establish his throne inside of us. The throne of Christ was established upon your heart, and the throne of Christ was being administered by the Holy Ghost within you. Alright? Do you realize that if you do not recognize the authority of the Holy Spirit, you will never grow in God? I know you have not seen that. If you don't know and you don't hallow that throne that is inside of you to yield to it, okay, let me come back home. If somebody offends you and God now tells you to go and apologize, it's not you offending, the person offends you. And God says, go and apologize. Because the scripture says, as much as is within your power, live at peace with all men. So God is teaching you how, the kind of power you have, the leverage and possibilities that are bound toward you for you to make peace. And he said, go and apologize. If it is difficult for you to go, which it is very difficult actually, it means that you have not yet acknowledged the authority of the one that sits upon that throne enough to obey his voice. And because of that, you will not be powerful in your own life. It can be powerful in this man's life, in this woman's life, but in your own life, there will be a deficiency of power because he is not accorded the due honor that is due him. And listen to me, Jesus can be in a boat and snore even when there's a storm. So he can be in your life and be asleep and snoring even when there's a storm. He said, where are you? Then the sleep becomes deeper. Many guys gave their life to Christ, and after accepting Jesus, the next thing they are looking for is money. And they are coming to church to receive prophecies about breakthroughs, about money. You have accepted another God. You don't know. Your soul has been possessed by mammon. And for 14 years, they are teaching men about breakthrough. That church is in error, and the bishops there that preach there, they are not standing for God to extend his kingdom. That kind of church multiplies the influence of darkness upon the face of the earth. You may be offended, but I have no apology. And listen to me, in the next 7 years, that voice that speaks from that altar will be cut off. Listen to me. Now, there's judgment that will come into the house of God to set it aright. Because the current church does not illustrate the power of the kingdom of God, and it doesn't reveal the majesty of the one that sits on high. Doesn't matter how many cars you have and the kind of auditorium that you stage your meetings. God doesn't dwell in houses built by hands. Have you read the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel gave us insight into the end time revival. And he called the church of that day a little sanctuary. That means in numerical strength, there will be nothing to reckon with. It will be a few people ravaging the world with the grace and the power of God. God's recruitment drive is not massive. No. Hey, the church went into error. Mammon became very relevant. That is not the God of the Bible. Check and see the messages that the apostles preach. Check and see it. Go back to your Bible and check it. This voice that is uttered now on most pulpits doesn't come from the kingdom. It's a different spirit. I know that spirit that speaks it. His name is called the Angel of Commerce. He made a show, a manifestation of his glory in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. The Bible says that because of his trade, his global trade, he filled the entire world with violence. In the next 7 years, the landscape of ministry will change in this country. And there will be judgment that will ravage the land. And a cry will rise from the body of Christ. In the day of that cry, then God will cause saviors to rise from Zion. Men of stature that have been in the hiding places, seeking alignment with heaven, calling upon the name of the Lord. He will endue them with power and with authority. Now, when it comes to spiritual things and things that have to do with my destiny, I'm not emotional. If a pulpit for 3 months is not speaking to me, it means I was not captured. Okay, let me leave it. I'm not part of it. The time has come for us, all of us, to go and seek God. For the level of discernment to be heightened. If every one of us has stature, the preacher on the pulpit will be careful. We'll be careful. Such preachers that will come for conferences, ministers' conference, it came like this. He said, "This shoe is 50,000, you will get there." Those kind of preachers. How did we come here? By what means, what vehicle did we? We were waiting for God. The first, we were visited with the alignment of a shoe. And that was how that service went into darkness. And we came out, our hearts were worse. Came out lean and hungry. When that started happening frequently, I knew that the voice of God had been taken from many people. And I'm not as emotional as you. I withdrew into the cave for 10 years. Yes. I threw away my Bible school notes because my Bible school, I was trained by them. My vision after I left Bible school was to be a bishop before the age of 30. And believe you me, I knew the politics in ministry enough. You don't understand it. Some of us who have been arrested. Because even in the gospel, we were not sincere. We knew the way around. That there was a corridor that normal people would not see. But the thing is, when you attain, to what end? The Lord give you understanding. Amen. Listen to me. There is a difference between a forgiving sinner and a normal sinner. There is also a difference between a normal Christian and a consecrated Christian. Now we have 76% normal Christians in this country. Why won't Boko Haram try? Why won't there be Ebola? Why won't there be kidnapping? I went to Malawi. They have 90-something% Christians. Not real Christians, but Christians. Their ancestors were Christians. Their culture is Christianity. Do you know what? I saw houses built without burglary. No burglary proof on the windows. You don't need to lock your door to sleep. When Christianity enters a land, it reaches to the foundation. That many years after that revival left, the symptoms of Christ-like culture were still in their midst. Demons were already raging because the fire was gone. But if you stand on the streets of Malawi and call Jesus, he will answer. There is a covenant that draws him to that land. Do you know that we went for baptism and the water began to conduct power? Water. I prayed on the stream, and the stream became a vehicle of power. Our nation will be delivered again. Amen. I'm talking about a radical revolution against unrighteousness. A new breed without greed. Men that have God in their hearts. Men that fear sin. Men that are lying to God's government. Satan will check out. This thing you are seeing will die a natural death. Amen. You want to change something on earth? You don't change it from earth. You must go back to the foundation. And that's why there's power and authority. Authority first changes the thing from the spirit realm. Then there's a manifestation in the natural. Power changes it directly. By a collision, by an impact. Do you understand it? Now, in order for you to have authority, you must have a presence there. A presence that is acknowledged. A presence that is favored. Now, so, if you check the ministry of Jesus, you will see that he healed and he casted out devils. And he preached. And he taught. Why did they have that fourfold agenda? He preached, he healed, he casted out devils, and he taught. It is because of the teaching that he gave them that the Bible reveals that from the time of John the Baptist, people began, the kingdom is preached, and men press into it. When they understood how the kingdom was, there was a mad rush of people to align with the kingdom, because there was a man that God gave insight about the kingdom, and he opened the gates of the kingdom through teaching. We'll look at that. That is what it means to lose. You know, he said, whatsoever ye bind, whatsoever ye lose. Ha! Okay, let me show you where you lose it from. This one is for people that know the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 6 quickly. Let me show you something. We need to really see how the realm of the spirit is. And I will say a few things today. And if God gives us permission tomorrow, we will now talk more about spiritual warfare. You will trample upon snakes and on scorpions. Everybody that God, Jesus wanted to send out to extend the kingdom, he gave them power and authority. In Luke chapter 9 verse 1, the Bible says he gave them power and what? Authority. Because the business on ground was to ensure that the kingdom was extended. It was on the account of the power and the authority that he gave them that Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So what they had the ability to displace Satan. Now I will show you how it happens. Just like only a man of heaven can open the window of heaven. He must be in heaven. He must be in heaven to open that window. So when the Bible says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from where? I will show you, maybe tomorrow we'll look at that. The first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. Navigating through the corridors. The alignment of the heavens. Why you will have spirit, soul, and body is because of the alignment of the heavens. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Now, I stumbled on these things while I was praying. I said, God, at the rate at which we are going, we will not cover significant ground for you. And, and I checked myself in the mirror. I saw white hair. I said, God, we are not winning. Then he said, that's when he started teaching me about power and authority. Friends, you know why we need to be strict about ourselves? He wants to give us authority. If we are not strict on ourselves, we will misrepresent him. We will not represent him very well. People will come and meet us, and what they will live with is not an imprint of God. All right, in Revelation chapter 6, let us see how you get those things that you lose. That's why authority is very important. Authority enables you to have the capacity to access and to bring about the change in the spirit realm first. You get it? That's why Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils. That thing happened in the spirit realm first, before you saw the manifestation outside. He took authority. He said that what is happening is that the kingdom of God has come. That's why this kind of thing can happen. That's not power, that's authority. In the book of Revelation chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now the first thing I need to show you here is that that beast is exercising guardianship over that seal. I say I'm talking to people that know the Bible. The beast is exercising guardianship over that seal. That's how heaven is structured. God has given some principal beings authority over some things. There are many functionaries in heaven. Many. There are many kinds of angels that we will never see until we go there. Many realities. Have you ever been to the barrack? Not every soldier is just a soldier. Every soldier has his department. We have transport and logistics. We have military police. We have what? Medicals. They are putting on khaki, but they have departments. They have specialization. That's how the angelic is. They have departments. They have specialization. It's not every kind of angel that can minister to you. If you have the shape of a custodian, you will have ministrations and ministry from the custodians in order for you to grow in the nature of Christ that is inside of you by the seed of the implant of God. So there are some of my... That's why in the kingdom of God, the secret that drives the church is our diversity, not cloning, not our similarities. Because if my dimension cannot handle it, the one in you will handle it. That's the idea. Satan can knock us out all at once. The philosophy of the operation of the body of Christ is interdependence, not independence. What the denomination did was that it tried to cut us off so that one set of people stand. You can't survive that way. Infiltration will get to you. That system will. Because the principle is interdependence. And it becomes more fearful when there are some pulpits where a man that is saved, a believer in Christ Jesus, born again, has reputation in the body of Christ, has an established history of integrity, cannot mount the altar because it's not part of the ministry. That means you have a qualification that is outside of that which is recognized by the book of John. Hold on, with time, it will become corrupt because you don't know that God, you don't know everything. You will go somewhere to learn some. You will submit somewhere and receive laying of hands to enter some things. You will go some. Why do you think they had to bring the sick to Jesus? He was the one that had the ability to do it. So even if you are bringing him from Cana of Galilee, you are doing the right thing. It's hard, but that's the only way. May the Lord give you understanding. This particular beast exercised guardianship over that seal. And the thing about seals is that you need to be a ranking man. You must have sufficient rank to be given clearance to peep into the content that is being sieved. So that's where authority is needed. If you don't have the needed authority, there are some revelations you will never receive directly. But it doesn't mean you don't have access to it. Because it's a body. I'm not too proud that I cannot receive something unique that you receive from God. And I know I need it. I will learn. Most of you have seen it here. Some of my friends that came here knew some things I did not know. I sat for long. And I was taught. And I did not hide it. It was not a shame to me for people to know that pastor is learning. You don't know that somebody can access a seal because of his shape. And you don't have that shape in the realm. So you can't access it. The best thing for you is to tap. When you tap it, through that person's access, because you understand the language, those beasts too will open for you eventually. So when you see a man, maybe in the wilderness, like John the Baptist, saying things about the kingdom, having no teacher, he has entered into a seal. The beast had called him, come and see. That's why he has that utterance. That's why it's different. That's why it's beaming forth. People that know the kingdom and understand how to read the handwriting know that the angels have appeared to him. That you will go and take a seat in the midst of the wilderness where he's doing his baptism. God, in this time, is about to take some men on a journey and open things to them. That's what will make you unique. It will happen by ranking, by stature, and by authority, not by power. Now, so there are people that have power today that will become irrelevant tomorrow because were not growing in alignment. They didn't have authority to access things that were coming on for heaven, and they were not invited to see things that were open in the realm. It is those ones that have seen it that can now come here, and through preaching and teaching, they are opening the gates of those dimensions, and then men begin to what? Rush into it. You understand me? That is a game of our authority. When you see a man that is accessing new insights into the things of God, into the economy of God, how God operates, and is coming like that, he has gone somewhere. His teaching did not emerge from art. It is because he had access to hidden things. That was why his teaching was strange. Do you get it now? So that's what it means to lose. Before you lose, you must be invited to see the things that are seen. And you know that the Bible says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the wisdom, the hidden wisdom which God has before ordained for our glory. It means that's how the spirit realm is. The divine realm is a cryptic realm. It's a realm that is coded. Things are locked up. Things are sealed. Even some angels have not been allowed access to view some things. You need the authority to be able to gain, to come to a point where you can be allowed to look beyond some limitations. When you see that there's a scarcity of the knowledge of God, the visions of God are scarce, the word of God is not available, the spirits of men are lean, it means that in a generation, there are no ranking people to tap into the seas. So what we see on ground is death. And there can be power in the person's hand, but he doesn't have any authority to get things that are sealed. So he doesn't have the current voice of God, but he has power. There's a limitation to which that ministry can advance and extend the kingdom of God. I just spoke to people that understand what I'm saying. We need to have that ranking with God. The Bible says even the day that John was about to be born, this was the message that Gabriel brought to Zechariah that was a marvel to him, that by ordination, he shall be great in the sight of God. That means by destiny, he was released as a man that will have ranking before God. Those are the kind of guys that can open things, open generation into things, because they have access through the guidance, to see through some seals. And that's what the Bible says. From that time of John the Baptist, it was John the Baptist that did it. He went up there into heaven. He got new insight that the kingdom that the prophets prophesied about, it has come. It's only a man that has broken through a seal that can tell us the current and the present revelation position of the Spirit, can speak boldly, and many people, because of his teaching, began to enter, press into the kingdom. He loosed it. He loosed it. He loosed those dimensions. He opened those dimensions. Everybody in the body of Christ had access, because there was one ranking man that knew how to access hidden things. He was a man of stature. If he appears in heaven, the beast that has secrets will call him, come and see. Come and see. Please help me tell your neighbor, come and see. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen to me. There was a mighty scourge of witchcraft that ravaged my family. It had a mark and a time. Every time everybody got to the age of 21, something terrible happened. Firstborn got to 21, he had what they call schizophrenia. He was a medical student in the University of Georgia. Schizophrenia is that it's a medical condition such that you can live comfortably as two people. Yes, you have two psychological dispositions. You can be a perfect, accomplished preacher and a wine bibber, and you'll be successful. You have the psychology to fit into those two lifestyles effectively. Your life is a film, it's a show, it's a drama. Some things are better spoken in tongues. You can be a doctor and a soldier at the same time, and you have sufficient psychological backup and foundation to be both without any form of friction. You see, the doctor studied for 6 years. If he uses his stethoscope on your chest, he will write something down. He studied much. Hallelujah. The second born came to 21 years. They said she stepped on poison, and her right leg became three times as fat as the left one. 21. The third born became 21 years. That's when we knew it was spiritual, because his own, no doctor could diagnose what was wrong, but he was dying. My immediate senior became 21 years and the same schizophrenia. This own, I was privileged to see the day started. Started 9 p.m. in the night. And the second man in him came out. And that second man was alive till daybreak. And then daybreak, another man came out. He didn't know what the second man did. And I knew we were in a jungle with many heads. Whenever English is hard, I'll switch. That one means the Lord will give you understanding. All kinds of injections that they gave him. All kinds of things that they gave him. I knew I were a praying family. We used to attend Equa. My father was a priest. He would wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to pray in our language. I don't even want you to know my language anyway. Every morning, I now ask God, I say, wait, what did we do wrong? See, my father, he will never sleep without calling you. You know what we had? We had the Holy Ghost. We didn't have power. Hallelujah. You know what we had? A time even came we had power, but we didn't have authority. The things that were wrong were secrets. There were mysteries. And it will take a ranking mind to understand the mystery. And if you don't have rank, the mystery will be manifesting. You'll be so close to it. But if God needs to take you to the root of it, he might take you deep into the heavens to show you what is happening around you. He will take you on a journey into the depths of heaven. You know, there's a scripture we're supposed to go to that we forgot. Tomorrow, we'll look at it. John in the book of Revelation chapter 17, wanted to understand the political situation. If you want to understand the situation, don't consult Sunday song. Don't consult this day. Don't consult the guardian. They will guide you into confusion. Hallelujah. John wanted an understanding. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God took him into the Spirit. Deep into the Spirit. Deep into a wilderness that was in the Spirit. The landscape of that realm was like a wilderness. It was in that wilderness that John saw a red, a scarlet colored beast. That was God revealing to him what was responsible for the rising political situation. He had to take him where? Deep into where? It's not everybody can go that far in the spirit realm. Not everybody can go that far. The men that can travel that far are men that have accepted to be subject to the government of God in everything. Their civilization evolves from the throne of God in the very heart of the 10 heavens. They have accepted his rule, accepted his dominion, accepted his leading, accepted his principle and his value system. Those men are such that are light. They have the capacity to mount up with wings like eagles into the very depth of the heaven to see secrets, civilizations, realities that have not yet manifested upon the face of the earth. One of us here was to go to school and he told me he's going to China. And I told him, China is a fine city. But that city and that nation was constructed. The civilization you see on ground came because people peeped into something. I know you don't believe me. Okay, let me go back to my scripture. It's easier to talk to you with scripture. Are you with me? John was taken where? Deep. To understand what was happening around him. Sometimes you need to be taken deep to understand what is happening in your family. It's your family, you were born in it. But there are some things that are deeper than the mind. And only ranking men can mount up with wings and fly into the corridors. I tell you today, I don't care to know how long the mysteries that have manipulated your family have lasted. Oh my God, I don't care to know the things that had to be summoned. They went into the river to bring this material. They went to the forest to bring that one. So that they can create an alignment, a pattern that mirrors dimensions in a negative supernatural to ferment a cause that has been traveling over the generations. That cause will be relevant as long as a man of ranking has not emerged. When such a man emerges, he doesn't solve the problem on the ground. He goes deep into the realm. And the guidance, they remove the vista. That's what the Greek calls apocalypsis, the unveiling. And he reaches into things that have not been taught, things that cannot be learned, things that can only be handed out. By those things he can war. He can cause the great divide. He can command deliverances unto Jacob. That's a man of authority. Let me go back to my script. Go back. Okay, go to power. The power is a gift. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power is a gift. But authority is bestowed unto you because of your proximity to God. Power is a gift, but authority is bestowed unto you. How? Because of your proximity to God. Now come with me. Do you realize that the devil had a place in the kingdom? Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. The devil had a place in the kingdom of God. Okay?
And when he lost his place in the kingdom of God, he lost his authority.
Follow me. We're on a journey.
Authority is relationship based. In fact, the moment you became a child of God, there's a level of authority that was given to you. As many as received him, to them gave him exousia, authority to become what? The sons of God.
Alright?
Relationship based. Just because you gave your life to Christ, there's a level of authority that you receive on that account. And there's a scope in which that authority has effect and effectiveness. But you cannot use that authority that you received as a believer to do some things. It will require more authority. And that means as you receive Jesus Christ, the level of authority, then you now decide to follow him, an act of choice, and to be subject to his government. That's a choice. Are you with me now? It's not as if you don't have another choice, but that's the choice you made. And even though it was difficult, you still said, this is my way. It was hard, there was persecution, you still stood and said, this is my way. For every time you suffered pressure to retain your testimony, there was an increase in the rank. In the realm of the spirit, there are some category of angels that only deal in measurement. That's their work. Now, have you read the book of Ezekiel chapter? Ezekiel. And they were the ones, those angels were the angels that were measuring a cubit. They are always measuring. And I asked, why were they always measuring? Why are they always having jobs to do? And then the great one, wisdom, began to teach me that every time we yield to God, we gain more ground. So they measure the ground we have gained. And every other time we violate the authority of God, we lose ground. So they have to measure our new scope of authority. So they have a lot of work because we are unstable. So they have work. You remember that time when you came back in full force? They gave you a different measurement. Have you ever checked? Paul talked about a mark of the high calling. Those are the measuring angels that, based on this deposit, this potential, he is supposed to be able to attain. When you came back in full force and rededicated, they measured new ground for you. He's coming back, and then suddenly you touch the deer again. I say, Kai, the taste didn't actually go. The taste, if you have a disciplined person in the ways of beer drinking, and that taste will still be sweet till tomorrow. It will be a choice that you make to leave that table of fellowship. Kamorene sinakola makwa. They are always measuring. Because we gain ground today and we lose the same ground tomorrow. That's why prophets will have to prophesy that a time will come when man, they prophesied across generations, across centuries, across aeons, waiting for a man that will yield sufficiently to God to gain sufficient stature in the spirit. That is when these things will begin to come to pass. Prophets had that eye to give hope to humanity that one among them will rise. Moses said God was going to raise a prophet like unto me. It almost took the end of time before that prophet came. But until the day it came, the things Moses said that will happen didn't happen. The problem with the church is that men of sufficient stature are not readily available. So how will you blame fraudsters like TB Joshua? Don't blame him. You can't blame him. He will have followership till tomorrow. Until men of, if Idahosa was alive, TB Joshua will not rise. No. Idahosa was not just an apostle, he was a judge.
He was a defender that was set up to fight for the Church of Africa. No, that was not an apostle just talking. He was a judge in the order of Samson, in the order of Deborah and Gideon. Bonke was the one that said he needs to preach the gospel before power will come. Benihin said he needs to worship. But Bonke said that Idahusa was a strange man. He can wake up from the sleep and raise people. His own was not by gospel preaching. He was a judge. Are you with me? Benihin was invited by Idahusa to preach in Lagos. And night was falling. And you know Lagos, because of everybody is living far. So night is coming. They had to go back. Told him, see, people are still here. And he said, the anointing has not come. The Holy Ghost has not moved me. He also said, watch me go in the flesh. He told the cripple, if you want to walk, walk. Three cripples started walking. In the flesh. No. That's not an anointed man. That is a prince. A prince that has power with God. As those three cripples started walking, then other cripples. Those are the men we're talking about. They are coming again. When they come, things begin to happen. It was during his time that Buhari said there will be no open air Christian meeting. He heard a crusade of 1 million people in Ibadan. Nobody could arrest him. You can't arrest a prince of that stature. Which government do you represent? What is the power that you can invoke from your seat that is higher than the throne that I have with God? When evil things happen, it means ranking men are absent. For the Lord said that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength. There is a new breed without greed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness. A people that carry the name of the Lord upon their foreheads. His banner shall run with them. By their hand he will conquer the dark places of the earth and overturn the mountains of idolatry. So when he was taken away, people like T.B. Joshua could rise unchallenged, undisturbed, and a massive infiltration began in the body of Christ. Nobody to wade that tide of darkness that was rising in the territory. Are you seeing the body? There's a vacuum, a gap. Men of stature. That's why the question goes by the prophet. Are you the one who is to come? We waited long. They spoke about a deliverer, an emancipator, a man of great stature and standing that could throw his weight in the spirit and cause darkness to fall and to be cut off from the land. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Now that you have risen in your family and the many tongues that you have spoken, it's as if something is happening. Is it true that it's you that is to come? Is it true that you have embraced the body or paid the price until you have the eyes washed by eye salve sufficient to see the secrets of God? Makodi will be written in the spiritual map of Africa. That name, that city called Makodi, they will hear about it from the tail end of South Africa. Because of what will come out of the land, it will come in a strong wind and nothing will be able to resist it. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Alright, let's go back to Bible study. I said that authority is relationship based. So when Satan lost his relationship with God, he lost his authority. In fact, he was bereaved of his spiritual body. In the introduction to demonology, the first thing about demons you need to know is that they are persons without bodies. Alright? They are persons without what? They were bereaved of their spiritual body. And as such, that is the reason why they are desperate to possess something so that they can be clothed and covered. Satan was bereaved of that his garment of light. That's why at the end of the day, when the curtain was opened and Satan was seen, the question was asked, are you now you? Because he didn't look like it. He didn't look like it. His spiritual body was taken from him. So he became a prince. Who is a prince? A prince is a king without a territory. Now, listen to me. It was when he was... In fact, the sentence was a sentence to hell. But you see, earth is between heaven and... So he showed up on earth and bargained with Adam. And so that Adam was a novice. And Adam violated the spiritual law. Because the law says, who unto whom you yield yourself as a servant to obey, servant of him you shall become. God gave him advice. Do this thing. He did not follow God's advice. He follows the devil's advice. He became the devil's servant. So on the strength of the devil's license and authority to the earth, he is now flowing. You understand that? So it is the man's authority he's using to function. The authority he had in heaven, he has lost it because he had been bereaved of his throne. I've not stopped. I've not finished. Now you can understand the book of John chapter 12. Let's open it. Let me show you. That's why Jesus uttered those words. John chapter 12. I'll just go straight to the scripture so that we'll not waste time. Okay, we need to read some scriptures. If not, it will not make sense. Okay, I think I need to explain some things before I read. Jesus was provoked to utter these words when people from a foreign land sought to see him. Now, I was expecting that because Greeks now came and they wanted to see Jesus. And Greeks, those days, were the smartest set of people on earth. They were the most enlightened, the most educated, as we can say, will not be wrong to say that they were the most educated people. And now, the educated guys had acknowledged the stardom of Jesus, and they wanted to identify with him to understand his own philosophy. They saw that a new branch of philosophy was rising from the land of the Jews. And they came to look at it, to label it, to identify it, if it was something in any form related to the kind of philosophy that they had in their land. And so they sent their best brains, their technocrats, to move into the land of Israel and to locate this wise one that has emerged from the land. And they came to the protocol of Jesus and said, we want to see Jesus. Now, I was expecting Jesus to say, oh my God, we have gone international. That suddenly the hidden lands have heard of the vibration of our temper. And they have come to reckon with us. Indeed, our standing in ministry at this point is the brightest. Glory to God. Now, I expected that. But Jesus disappointed all of us. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall. That was not a good time for that scripture. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abided alone. Hey, what's that? Hallelujah. But he was speaking from a deeper perspective. You know what he was saying? He said, except I give myself up to die, the visit of the Greeks will be futile. I will still be abiding alone, but if I die, I will exist in form of an immortal spirit. And any man that believes and gives me half a chance, I will tabernacle within his heart. It's the wrong time for the Greeks to come. I need to fall down first before their visitation to me can be useful. You don't need to leave your lands. You don't need to leave your territory. There's something, you broke protocol. You came at the wrong time. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die. It abides alone. It was this sidereal. The Bible revealed, apart from John the Baptist's baptismal service, apart from the Mount of Transfiguration, when God the Father spoke, this was one of the other times when God spoke from heaven. Because of these high kingdom words that Jesus raised. These words were deep words drawn from the archives of heaven. And he provoked an utterance of the Father. And the Bible said, carnal men that heard that utterance thought that it sounded like a thunder. It means that that utterance was an audible voice of God spoken into the earth. You see, if a ranking man, there are some things you utter on earth. Rivers in the realm will split. Thunders and lightning. Powers will be unlocked. Even the temple gates and the sanctuary will release lightnings and thunderings. Just because there was a ranking man on earth giving voice to the deep things of the kingdom of God. Many things happen behind the scene. This was the time the Father uttered his voice. And people said in the audience, some said it was a thunder, some said an angel had spoken. Now it was a very confusing scenario. Are you with me? Very confusing. And Jesus said, it is not because of me that this voice came from heaven, because of you. This voice that came from heaven is announcing something which all nations must hear. And that's what I want to read to us. In the book of John chapter 12, verse 31. This was what the voice announced. He gave insight into spiritual seasons and timings. Verse 31 said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, hey, hold on. Let us tackle that scripture. I will end with that one today. We will not be able to go more than this. Because on my script, I'm just trying to establish to you that the devil doesn't have that authority again. That's why I'm going here. He has human authority. And I will show you some other scriptures quickly. In the book of Jude chapter 1, that's when I can finish that reading. And then explain that scripture. Then you understand how we should live on it. Now listen to me. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. That was what the voice said from heaven. And Jesus was trying to bring it into human language. Now the prince of this world is cast out. And if I be as much as lifted up, then something will happen among men. That, why did he call the devil a prince? The prince of this world shall be cast out. It's because the prince of this world, the devil has been operating with the authority of man. So he was designated as a god of this world previously. But Jesus now called him a prince here. That something is about to happen. And unfortunately, according to the demands and the claims of divine justice, I'm not supposed to be the one that will be responsible to lift myself up. It's not within my scope and jurisdiction to conduct the lifting service. But if the lifting service is done, then the circuit will be complete. And a new thing will happen. Are you with me? The new thing that will happen is that Jesus is dying as a man. Are you with me now? That means he's a man. He has paid the price for that error that Adam committed, that empowered the devil, that made him the god of this world. So the devil will be displaced. And he will now be a prince that has authority. But he doesn't have territory. He has power, but he doesn't have where to execute it. So, he's the prince. You'll be a prince thereafter. Now, listen to me. What Jesus did that is many people do not see in scripture is that, you see, the center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. The center of the administration of God is the throne of God. And the throne of God is only functional where the government of God is present. And one of the things that Jesus did was to bring that throne that was functional in heaven and to make it functional on earth by paying a price. When Jesus was to be crucified, there were some things that were written on the cross in Latin, in Greek, and in Jewish language. Am I in Hebrew? Thank you. In Hebrew. And what was the statement there? Behold, the King of the Jews. Now, so Jesus' cross, because there were people that were crucified before Jesus and people that were crucified after Jesus. But Jesus' cross was a price he was paying to bring a kingdom, to bring a throne, to make that throne in heaven to be functional on earth. Are you with me? Alright, so Jesus said, it is not in my place to lift myself up, but if I am lifted up, then something will happen. I will draw all men. That means I will have influence over men. That means the throne of God will come in, become functional upon the face of the earth, and it will be able to influence men. My question now is, who lifted Jesus up? Because Jesus said, I'm not supposed to lift myself up. If I am lifted up, that was a very strong prophecy that was hanging on if. It was Paul that told us the truth. And he said, if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. It was the devil himself that lifted Jesus up unknowingly. Oh, you are not with me. He's being lifted up, announced a new regime. And then that throne that was in heaven became functional in the hearts of men that acknowledged his lordship. And then through that throne, he began to exercise government by drawing men. You get it? Now, those men that are being drawn onto him are men, are foot soldiers that he uses to facilitate the advancement of his kingdom. Are you still there? Notice now, he's no longer the God of this world. He is the prince, having power but no territory to implement the power. And that's why Paul says, give Satan no place. Just in case Satan is around your life, you are the one that gave him territory. He is now just a prince, no territory to execute what he... As long as you violate the government of God, you give Satan a place. You don't need to call the devil, just be fornicating. A day will come, you just realize you are a container full of demons. As long as you are violating the principle of God, what you are doing is that you are giving Satan a place. It means you subscribe to a different philosophy that is different from the kingdom of God. And that's what the Bible says, we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then to seek to be right with the laws of the God's kingdom. When you are right with that law, you are insulated. There is no accusation that can be brought against you that will sail. Satan cannot suppress you. And just in case God decides to allow the devil a time to afflict you, just like Job was afflicted, it is a mystery that is at work so that you can gain higher ranking and higher capacity. The Bible says if the princes of this world had known, they would have left Jesus to be old. They would have left him to walk with walking stick. They would have allowed him. None of them would touch him. But a blunder was committed. A blunder that shaped the heavens, created a possibility that never existed before, that men could journey from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Friends, the longest distance is not from east to west. It's not traveling. A wonder took place because it was lifted up. A throne became functional. And for as many as acknowledge his power and the thing he did upon the cross, he establishes a throne inside of them and he trusts them. He begins to control. So he has a voice in the earth. The days of the God of this world, they are over. Now we are with the manifestation of the sons of God. People that will realize that there's an open gate in the kingdom that has not been accessed. An open gate of the kingdom. And as we advance in that gate, as we advance in that gate, God begins to increase our stature and our ranking. We have access to peep into things. There were some visions that existed, but you just saw it last year. It was there before last year. Because eternity is a timeless existence. It was there when you were born. But you only qualified to peep into it last year because of your ranking. He had been trying to bring you into ranking so that you will have an excuse to make you see it. But the measurement was not proper. The readings that came from the field were not adequate. He was wondering, when you seek to be stable, the average Christian is not stable. He's on a journey. If the service has nothing to do with his pocket, his purse, his wedding, then there's no deal. But it was not Adam's purse that got lost in the garden. It was the kingdom that he lost. The ability to exercise dominion as a God that was under the authority of the supreme God. He lost alignment. And because alignment was lost, he became a vagabond in the very territory that was supposed to be installed as a chieftain. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? I've seen in my visions, while I tarry by my bedside in Lagos, I've seen the things that God wants to do with us. But you see, those things are so bogus. And I cry, I say, hey! How will it happen? I found out. He told me. He says, an increase of rank. An increase of rank. That's why God gave you that statement. Abide with me. That's the only thing that activates the rank. Authority is functional because of proximity. And that's why when Satan lost, that's why degrees of darkness were identified in scripture. From darkness to gross darkness to outer darkness. All of which are illustrations of distance away from intimate fellowship. I've not finished. Adam's habitat was Eden. Is that not so? Eden is not a location, if not the scientists would have found it. I was reading on YouTube, trying to find that, watching YouTube, some scientists said they are trying to find Eden. I said, ooh. You try for a long time. Because during the days of Noah, what happened was a wobble. The wobble is it's a polar shift. That's what it is. When the polar shift, the magnetic north shifts, and when there's a shift in the poles, the topography of the earth is distorted. Some places that are land become submerged, and some places that are water become land. So if you have checked, this is not the first way the earth is looking. So you cannot find Eden, even if it were a physical location. But Eden is not a physical location, just like the trees were meant, designed to survive on land. Fish was designed to survive where? In water. Man was designed to survive in Eden. Eden is a locality where the concentration of the presence of God is found. That's why joy is not something you can formulate. Joy is a natural reaction that happens in your spirit because you have come into Eden. Are you with me? Eden, that's your habitat. Have you ever come into God's house and suddenly you feel okay? It's the environment. It's Eden. When David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. There was no temple. No location. So what did David mean by the house of God? What did he mean by the house of God? A place with a banner. Now, so when man was cast out of Eden, you know, man, according to God's mathematics, A day with God is like what? 1,000 years. The moment man was cast out of the garden, man was no longer capable of living up to one day. Did you see? Who was the oldest man? Methuselah. How old? Do you notice that as we went further from Eden, life expectancy began to reduce? Darkness, gross darkness. Then as we began to live Eden, life expectancy began to reduce because we were now being fused into a natural state of existence without the ventilation of the original atmosphere. There are things that we do not know and powers that we have not seen. And God wants to visit us with that which we cannot learn, that which must be handed out. It is because of this that men need to find favor with God. A man of power can still backslide and the devil can use him. But a man that walks under the authority of God, he will be like an immortal. His name will never be mentioned among the dead, the transcendent. By the power of the covenant he cuts with God, even after he is domiciled in eternity, his covenants on earth will still be a mystery that God will work with to influence and interface with man. By what wisdom did Elijah pray that prayer? 29 seconds and he shut the heaven. By what power and what vision did Abraham seek a land, a city that God was a builder, a city that had foundations? By what bogus thinking was that? These guys had access to the scrolls hidden, the scrolls that formed the basis of the foundation of the world, and they aligned themselves to it and became immortals. Cut covenants with God that affected the entire span of humanity. Redemption began with Abraham. He has his center and circumference in Christ, and his goal is the kingdom. Without the call of Abraham, there's no rise of Christ. Jesus came on the platform of the covenant of Abraham, and that was why he was called the son of Abraham. It's because of this throne that is called the son of David. This throne. Because David was the one that was the mirror image of the kind of king that God was in heaven. And on the strength of that, he was not a king that ruled from his head, was a king that ruled from his heart. And God is that kind of king. He rules from his heart. If not, if God were to count iniquity, none of us would survive. And so he cut a covenant with David. He said, through you I will bring the true king. He's going to be the new and the greater David. That was the prophecy in Psalms 79. And that's why he's called the son of David. He's called the son of Abraham because of the covenant that he caught. That covenant is what brought redemption. Without that covenant, there's no legal ground for Jesus to rise. These men were immortals. By what wisdom did they come into agreement with God? The agreement has shaped the earth. Anointing comes upon you today because you are a son of Abraham. Fully kitted. Fully confirmed, and the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are not a strange child. You have his faith. You have access to that which he believed. You are the reality of his prayers. The country he sought, you are that country. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Jesus said, you are a city. That's what the city that Abraham was seeking for. A city that was not built by stones, but a city forged by the New Testament church. A place that will be God's eternal habitation. And that's the visage that we see in the book of Revelation. That's the consummation of God's divine purpose. Heaven is not God's goal. It's a new Jerusalem. A city where God will have a dwelling place. If heaven were God's goal, you would have died the day you gave your life to Christ. In the night. Can we take more? Makorema masika masekoma. That's why God will not stop. He has been chasing you to get your attention. Because you are his deal. His blood did the work for you. And that day you accepted that work that he did, something was created in your spirit. The command tower of heaven became functional. God was supposed to rule from your heart. But you see, he's a gentleman. He will not force you to rule you. You must submit to him, not by reluctance, willingly. And they were amazed at his power and his authority. He was not a creature of earth. He was a being altogether of heaven. He said, as I see my Father, quick raise the dead, even so the Son quickens those that he wills. I have not done anything in isolation of the Father. I peep into the heavens of God. My spiritual senses are awake and alive. I hear in the spirit. I see in the spirit. I understand by the spirit. Things that are not taught. Things that cannot be learned. Is handed over to me. There's an educational system that is found in Christ. It's called the epignosis. The revealed truth that comes by Christ. Christ becomes the revelator. Christ becomes the revelation. He is the center and the circumference. The summation and the totality of God's divine experience and reality. And he wants to dispense himself into you in higher degrees, in higher measures, until you can peep into the secrets of the heavens and implement that which you have seen. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever he shall bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Now you will take a key in your hand as we pray together. Tomorrow I will show you the construction. There's a construction. We need to pull a few scriptures and develop a software by which you can measure things. Can measure 10 years, measure 25 years, measure 15 years. Ours will not be a destiny of wastage. It will be sons of power that rise in the strength of their God. Satan must be brought to a halt. And the princes of terror that have ravaged our territory will be stopped. Name them Ebola. Name them Boko Haram. Oh my God. Unto us have been given the grace to know the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth, it shall be loose in heaven. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you have a right to loose those things into your family. You have a right to bind those things for manifestation. He said, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Have you been attempting something once and again, and the devil has been stopping you? I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Sombra mera tende sobara, sobara, sobara. Haya mona kaya ma babu banina kaya mo. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, you can loose your family out of the stranglehold of the devil.
You can lose your child, your son. You can lose the destiny of the entire clan. I give unto you the keys. Whatsoever he shall bind on earth, simare de bora mana mare, simakande bori kana mara bara bara.
Before our gathering here tonight, the Lord led me to the book of Genesis chapter 14. And from verse 14, he began to speak. The Bible says, when Abraham heard of what happened to Lot, that the enemy came and fought and took them away, the Bible says that he took the men, 318 people that were born in his house. And the Bible says he divided himself among them. That is what the Lord is doing tonight. That the battle has become so fierce. The enemy have taken over because of ignorance, because of manipulations, and because there is no one. But he said, now a man has risen. I said, tonight he is going to divide himself in us. Brother, get ready. Sister, get ready. He said, he is dividing himself in us. What is happening tonight is that there is going to be a flow to homes. I just want to pray. I just want you to pray for just some few minutes that you prepare your heart. That he will divide himself. Because what we have heard is too much until the Lord divide himself in us. Can you pray? Can you, anyhow you can pray, pray. For he's about to divide himself in us. Until he divide himself in us, we cannot conquer. The Bible says Abraham divided himself in them, and they went and they conquered all. They brought back everything. None of them was a victim. None was a victim. And they recovered all, including children, women, men, everything. He's about to divide himself in us right now. The word has gone forth. The Spirit of God is coming upon us. Sister, if you can pray, pray. Brother, if you can pray, pray. Can you groan? Can you groan? Can you groan? Oh God, my yakete mahada, improve again, mukada muhada gadi mochantaliha. Don't be religious tonight. Can you pray from your heart? Can you pour out your heart? That the Spirit of God will mount up upon it. That the Spirit of God will gain entrance into your heart. That he will establish his kingdom from there. He's dividing himself among us. He's dividing himself among us. He's dividing himself among us. Ah, Jesus. 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 Speaking, so many prophecies went forth. It was too much. But there was a question he was asking: are you the one, or we should wait for another? Are you the one, or we should wait for another? Now, that was not just a preaching. It was God addressing us. It was not just a preaching. Now listen to me. This is how we're going to take this prayer point. Something happened in the book of 1 Kings. When Elijah, after he destroyed the prophets of Baal, then he spoke to the king. He said, rise up. Eat and do what? Drink. But what did he do? The Bible says he went to the top of Camel and do what? The Bible says he fell down and he began to groan. There is a place of fulfillment and manifestation. Yes, prophecies have come forth, but there is a place of fulfillment and manifestation. And that place is a place of groaning. Until we will groan and we will settle this in the spirit. You may hear it and lose it. This is the time. Can we spend some few minutes and groan in the spirit? Can you bring back? Can you bring back those prophecies? Some of the prophecies were for you. Some were for other generations. That which is for you. He told the king, rise up, eat and drink. But he went to call forth the abundance of rain. He said, I can hear the abundance of rain. But he went there to form it, to call it forth, to bring it into fulfillment and into manifestation. Let us call forth those prophecies, those words that went forth on our behalf. Brother, can you pray? Can you pray so that you will fit into that prophecy? Can you pray so that those words will come to pass? Can you pray? Oh, Jesus. Mayama kuma santolo badagada hadaha. Impro mayagada bruka mayada hada. Mayakoba namu santara badahada. Impro badagada masantara badahada. mighty name. I see the atmosphere changing. But the Lord, I can hear the Lord say, there's still one more prayer. Sir, I got a test of what happened here yesterday night. This morning, the Lord laid upon us. We pray. We don't know why we are praying. But every morning we just pray for 2-3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. And so this morning we just went to church to pray. I and my pastor there and one other woman came and joined us. And some women came to clean up the church. Normally they come, they clean the church and they go away. So when they came, I just pushed everybody to, the three of us went to the office to pray. But when they finished sweeping the church, they begin to pray. They were under that unction praying. I was in the office, I felt the density. They were just praying, it was abnormal. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, come out and bless these people. So I just came and stood by the altar and things begin to happen. Now as we are praying here, hear me. The Lord said, the anointing upon his servant is so much, he wants to divide it among us. He said, the work is vast. What we are hearing is too much. How many can hear this? He wants to divide himself. He wants to divide him. He's going to break him like bread and divide him among us. But there's one more prayer. I want to pray because this will demand being under authority. I want to pray, Lord, give me the grace to be under your authority. Help me to align with you. Holy Ghost, help me to align with you. There are certain instructions that will be too hard to obey. You need grace to obey them. Servant of God, this version is different. The chapter that has been opened now is different from the former one. My brother, this chapter is different. My sister, this chapter is different. You need an alignment with God. You need to be under authority. Something is about to happen. Cry out for grace. Cry out for grace. Cry out for help. For divine help. Oh God, help me. Oh Lord, help me. Jesus, I need your help. Release your grace that I may stay under your authority, Lord. Under your authority, Lord. Maya come up, Ashadada. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. The time has come. This session I am not qualified to handle. The apostle is coming out. It may be 1 minute. It may be 2 minutes. But I hear the Lord say, I will divide him among you. Please, don't allow any distraction. If you can close your eyes, close your eyes. If you can just squeeze yourself to stay alone, stay alone. This chapter is different. This version is different. This session is different. It is not what you know. It is not what you have been doing. It's different. Something new. I am saying this, even among ministers, this chapter is different. For there is a battle. The enemy came and invaded. They loot so many things. And the Lord is going to divide them so that we'll go and recover all. So that we'll go and recover all. Get set. Something is happening. The angels are in here. Aye, 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 aye.
Lord, many years ago you said that you will return to us. You will raise and rebuild again the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Father, we know that this is the time, and we ask, O God, that you descend with your mighty hand. Raise men from among us. Raise women from among us that we represent you in the gates against the enemy, against the dragon, against Leviathan. Raise men. Raise men. Raise men. Raise women. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wash our eyes with eyes salve that we may see. Let the blindness of the spirit be taken away. Raise men of rank and power that will rattle the foundation of nations, that will hoist the flag of the Lord Jesus. Raise, Lord, financial men that you can trust with the finances of the kingdom to establish a house in this land and in the nations of the world. We stand in judgment against every pressure put upon you from the kingdom of darkness. Let the yoke be broken. Let the yoke be broken. Let the yoke be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those men that you can trust with financial miracles, in order for them to stand for your kingdom and see to its establishment, open the door. Open the door. Open the door in the name of Jesus Christ. These men, ministers of fire, apostles after the order of Paul or Peter, garnished with grace and terror to the kingdom of darkness. Raise teachers of revelation, men that can peep into the heart of God and draw his mind. Oh God, oh God, by the power and the Holy Ghost, grant us grace to tread upon the lion and the adder. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put your right hand on your head as we pray now. The anointing you need will come upon you right now. Every limitation placed upon you by the kingdom of darkness, you will see it no more. Has the devil fought you? Has he stood against your family? Has he been coming season after season to take one life, to take one soul? We stand in the courts of heaven and we say no to the devil. Hitherto have thou gone, and you shall go no further. We draw a line and we speak peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for many years we have prayed. Said you will raise men of means, men that you will put finances in their hands. I call on you, oh God, by terrible things in righteousness, by signs and wonders, by war, by thy outstretched hand, by thy strong hand. Raise men of power. Raise men of means. Let the grace for high men
that can handle kingdom finances, let it be released in the name of Jesus Christ.
There's an anointing coming from heaven right now. It's coming.
God will raise financial men. Financial men. Oh God. Oh. He will raise men, rugged men of faith, that fear nothing, that can enter into territories and discomfit the enemy. There is a unique grace of boldness, of courage, in the grace of courage, in the anointing of courage, great grace.
By signs and by wonders.
Imamaro berenana. Eba komerani mamamano. Semanane le konia. Amarada berama monemo. Baba. Babo mama de da la baba.
No limitation will be able to hold you. The day of sons have come.
Babo mama de da. Mama rebola gana.
He comes. There is liberty in the spirit. The Jesus that you see today, you shall see them no more. He comes with fire in his eyes. The Jesus that you see today, you shall see them no more. Kabera boroskete mane da koroma. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. And have dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. And have dominion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can, hold your neighbor and begin to pray in tongues. Pray. You will not live with your weakness. You will not live with your fear. You will not live with your doubt. It's a new day. You will not live with your limitation. You will not live with your tears. A new day comes. And the strength of the Lord shall be the sign. Come on,
Be fruitful.